This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, JT Noah in for Drew today.
Former Cody and Gold intern.
That's right. That's right. It's been a little while since JT produced and board op for us. He's got us for the next 2 hours today. Then we hand things off to Vern for his On Deck show as the Royals wrap up their series against the Twins this afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan. Drew's already getting the golf practice in. We've got an update in about 20 minutes. We'll get you an update on if you followed along yesterday, the Corn Ferry Tour qualifying. Is Drew going to get in or not? We've got a little update we'll give you in 20 minutes.
This is after he claimed he could break 100 at the Masters. There's already one golfer on the course who has two bogeys and two double bogeys. But sure. Yeah, I'm sure you'll just do that to shoot a 99 for the 18 holes on the course. You know, we never asked JT. Does anybody know? So JT was an intern here. Technically, he had to receive a grade for it. Who the hell gave it to him? JT, what grade did you get for being an intern on this show?
So for the intern,
or a pass,
it was. They said, quote unquote, I had to sign up for a class right for the summer. Yeah. I already graduated. So my dean just gave me a wannabe class that was an automatic A so I could have a class to get the internship.
Stringent academic requirements, it sounds like, wherever you were at.
Yeah, my dean, me and my dean still talk because we were so close when he was one that recruited me to come. And he was like, hey, I'll get you through this class. And so he helped me when I had some tough family problems in my senior year of the winter. And so he was like, hey, I got you if you get on with 6'10". So I was like, all right, cool. There we go.
Good dude. What's cool is this, man? This dean sounds nice.
Well, he was the dean of my major, I should say, but you see him. You see him.
Okay. I thought you show really
see shout out.
Oh, you and Dusty.
Joe Moore. We love Joe Moore.
You see him.
Go Mules?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
I wasn't sure.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, that is. And they go snouts out. It's bad, but snouts out.
That's the saying?
Yep, that's the
snouts. I'd change that. I'd change that. You know, you do you. UCM. I don't know if it is it. Do I teach at the competition? Are UCM and UMKC competition?
I don't think so.
For schooling?
I don't think so.
They have competing journalism departments?
I don't think so. I don't know. You tell me who the rival of the Ruse are.
Well, they got a natural rival, honestly. Like, they switched conferences. It's probably someone in the Summit League, but they've been so little brothered in there for so long. I'm not sure anybody would
Snouts out is unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not going with that.
Snouts out is incredible. Anyway, you guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it. Make sure you subscribe. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's get right into it, and we'll work in a little Augusta leaderboard update coming up in just a bit as well, as the Masters is underway. But The Royals, one of the members of their PR department, put out a pretty mind-boggling stat about where this pitching staff has been the last couple of years. Nick Capel said that the Royals, in 57 seasons, there have been 10 games in which their pitchers recorded at least 12 strikeouts and zero walks. And this goes back to two nights ago, by the way, when Cole Reagans was pitching. Five of the 10 in franchise history have come since 2023.
Excuse me?
That's such a crazy since number. That happened, of course, pitching coach has been Brian Sweeney. They've had J.J. Piccolo, of course, take over the entire front office. So if you're looking bigger picture about where this staff is at pitching development-wise at the big league level, and hopefully it trickles down to the minors as well, that's pretty wild that some of, at least when it comes to 12 strikeouts, zero walks in a game, 10 times is very rare in 57 seasons. Think about how many, we're playing about 162 games a year.
Yeah, and now you only manage it 10 times. And that entire time, obviously in 57 years, wasn't 162 games.
Fair. But
there are strike years and everything else. But even if you just assume it's 120 games a year over 57 years, that's 6,840 games you managed at 10.
Yeah, and five have happened since they've been under this current regime. One, you got to have great players too, right? Cole Reagans is a stud for this organization. But in terms of pitching development, look what they're doing with Chris Bubich as well. I mean, Chris Bubich now has the lowest ERA in baseball. They did a stat correction. His ERA is now 0.00.
Oh, nice. So he's perfect. I like the 0.00. So he's best, I guess, in baseball right now. Kind of hard not to. Mm-hmm. If you got 0 point, maybe somebody else is tied for first.
I didn't look that up yet.
But he's definitely in or around first based on that. So that's more than fair, at least putting it that way. No, I think if you look at it this, I think that is a very telling stat for two people. It's telling for Cole Reagans and Wright and just having better pitchers and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But don't pretend like they never had good pitchers. They've had Zach Greinke and Brett Sabrehig, and they've had other people to win Cy Youngs, do an excellent job, perform at a high level. All of those things, Gold, have existed over and over and over again, kind of across the board. And now you're telling me that they're getting to half of their total number? This stat to me is about two people. It is about J.J. Piccolo for acquiring the talent and allowing that talent to be in the system. And this is about Brian Sweeney and why the fan base was not ludicrous for asking for the head of Cal Eldred for all of those years. Having a pitching coach who thinks about baseball in a good way makes me feel like this organization is heading towards the Tampa Bay Rays model of pitching. Forget the rest of it or how they do it. Do you remember how many good pitchers, how many Cy Young candidates they turned out year after year after year in that organization because they knew how to get people developed and up? Look at what they're doing in AAA right now. They got two pitchers going really well in AAA. Another one in AA who looks like he might be good. Maybe they just finally figured out how to teach pitching in the organization. JJ deserves a ton of credit for that. At the major league level, so does Brian Sweeney. But I think it's about two people, not just about one. And yeah, it's more about that than the talent, crazy enough. Because they've had great, talented pitchers before. And still now they're only getting these stats in the last 2 years.
So if you're looking for anything, whether it's the start of this year or the last couple of years, that could carry over for multiple years to give you faith in just where the organization can continue to build, well, pitching. Pitching is that area, and that's one stat. I know it's very specific. We're talking about 12 strikeouts and no walks. You can be a very good pitcher and never have a 12 strikeout, zero walk game. I don't want to act like, you know, that's something that happens all the time for any team, right? That's a pretty specific scenario, but it gives you some idea of what they've been able to do as an organization with pitching. And the one thing we've said is at the big league level, in terms of evaluating talent in other organizations, that's what they do best right now, I believe. The next step is finding out how well do they draft and develop. And we're going to get our answer over the next year or so to really, it takes years,
two,
right?
Two, 3 years probably is going to really tell us that story.
And maybe at some point on the non-pitching side, on the hitting side, maybe we will see Jack Caglione get called up later on this year. And that'll be the first, I believe, would be the first draft pick under this regime that would come up. Is that
right?
Yeah,
they have some other guys they had developed.
I know other guys have had debuts, of course, this year. But I'm talking about like truly since J.J. Piccolo took over as GM, how many guys that they drafted have made big league debuts?
But at least they're getting more out of their starting pitching, finding the talent. Because this goes like J.J., this speaks more to him than Brian Sweeney, in my opinion. Although I do think Brian Sweeney is a good chunk of the pie. If we're just saying between those two, it's like 60-40. But J.J. had to both find the talent, right? Trade for Cole Reagans, sign Seth Lugo, have the confidence in Chris Bubich, whatever. And he had to find a pitching coach who he thought would do a better job than Cal Eldred. He has clearly found that. Now the development, and like you said, that story will come later. But it was really important that this make the step that they do it. You know why the Royals were so bad for so long? I mean, this is really the legit part. And I know we're going to get a text here in a minute and be like, why are you talking about the offense scoring zero runs?
We'll get there.
Don't worry. We'll talk about the offense. This deserves to be discussed. The reason why the Royals, Gold, for a majority of your life and my life, were the one of the laughing stocks of baseball, right? One of the worst franchises in the sport for a long time, is because you can't be competitive unless you can pitch. And for a huge majority of my life, they couldn't pitch. They had bad pitching coaches, bad pitchers, bad development in their pitching process. Forget the hitters or the offense or the things that struggle for a minute. If you can't pitch, you could have the 1927 Yankees on offense. You're still not going to be good enough to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. So I take this as an incredible sign that the organization is doing a lot of right things pitching. The next step in that, to your point, will be Cameron comes up or Allender, you know, and these guys come up and they're like, good, immediately good. And there's not this like learning curve that they've had to do with Lynch and Bubich and Singer before him and all these other guys.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk about the NFL draft a little bit because we are 2 weeks out, 2 weeks from tonight. The NFL draft takes place, and of course, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be at the Landing in Liberty. Christian Ocero, Jay Binkley, the Character Concerns crew, broadcasting live in the first round of the draft. Everybody from the station going to be hanging out at the Landing in Liberty. Your shot at $965 plus an autographed Chiefs helmet if you can pick the draft correctly. So hope to see you guys out there in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about the quarterbacks in particular. We know seems like Cam Ward for sure is going to go number one, but there's some more discussion about who could be the second quarterback off the board and when. The latest rumblings around Shedeur Sanders, that's coming up in just a bit. And thinking of the draft, this is something that I think we have our gut reaction right after the draft, and then everybody tries to reevaluate a year or so later just how good was the draft. And over at Arrowhead Pride, they did a good wrap-up of this, but Chad Ryder, who does plenty of draft coverage and draft grades and everything like that for NFL.com. He went and regraded last year's draft. And we could all do this as well. And of course, it was highlighted by Xavier Worthy. It did have Kingsley in it, had Jared Wiley, Jaden Hicks, Hunter Norzad. And that's basically all that you probably need to know at this point in time.
Yeah, I didn't Kamal really Hayden see CJ Hansen or whatever the kid's name out of Holy Cross was last year.
CJ Hansen was Holy Cross.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you look at this, and he regraded some of the other drafts too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have gone through this effort and been like, hey, what did it look like in 2023 or what did it look like in 2022? And we know that we've gone back and been like, but everybody wished they had that Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton draft with, Trent McDuffie and Rashee Rice. Like, they've had some good grades. If you go back and you make me regrade last year's draft, I'll be honest, man. B-. He gave it a B. Somehow he gave a more generous grade. Here's the trouble in regrading last year's draft. Xavier Worthy is an absolute hit. A clear
hit. That's an A grade.
That's
an
A grade. If you redrafted the entire first round and the entire NFL got to choose again, he'd go higher, the number 28 overall.
Sure.
I really like what I'm seeing out of Jaden Hicks. Still a bit of an unknown, but considering the round he was taken at, I'd give that an A as a pick. Gold, where he is, he might be able to play full-time for you. At the very least, he's going to be a really nice rotational player in the fourth round. Hell yeah. Kingsley right now is currently graded as a D at best. He got benched after a couple of games.
It's crazy. It's two games. I'm with you, but it's two games. Yeah.
D right now.
Yeah.
If he started at left guard this entire year and was competent, that grade could change significantly. Jared Wiley got hurt. Hunter Norzad didn't play. And the other two guys, nobody's even recognized as being on the field. The thing that right now it's a B-. The thing that could save it is if either Hunter Norzad or Kingsley Suamataia, or I guess in this case, CJ Hansen.
Yeah, starting left guard.
If one of those guys become the starting left guard for the next 3 years, this draft starts looking infinitely better, especially if Jaden Hicks becomes a full-time starter sometime in the next 12 to 24 months, and you get a couple years out of him as a starter as well, similar to the way that they've used Brian Cook and some of these other guys. If he turns into that, grade doesn't look so bad all of a sudden. The problem is that you might be looking at an F grade in your second round pick. Because if it goes the other way, Golden, he just doesn't play and he just gets benched or gets cut or whatever happens, then he's an F. He's an F, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's barely played.
Yeah, and I saw something interesting from, I think it was Tom Pelissero yesterday. I could have my NFL Network insider's names mixed up, but he was referencing the draft this year. And maybe it's not the most star-studded draft. Like, that might be the case. We might look back and it may not be like there may not be an MVP. There may not be a guy that's a five-time All-Pro necessarily coming out of this draft.
Sure,
whether it's for the Chiefs or for anybody. But he mentioned this is a starter's draft. I mean, you should be able to get multiple starters out of this draft.
Love that for the Chiefs. Yeah.
Let me get the exact name right on the reporter because I thought it was interesting. Daniel Jeremiah. I'm sorry, Daniel Jeremiah. He said, "Quote: I've talked to several GMs and head coaches over the last week, and everyone seems to agree this draft is a starter draft. Maybe not a ton of star power, but your goal should be to come away with 3 to 4 solid starters. They're out there. Go find them. Now, easier said than done, right? But that's why Brett Veach and his staff get paid the big bucks to do that." But that was kind of interesting. So when we're talking about regrading the past, and it's not so much, oh, you'll have to go find a future Hall of Famer. Duh.
Yeah, I love finding Travis Kelce in the third round. Yeah. Sure.
But can you come away? The Chiefs have, 8 picks, right? Including a bunch of seventh rounders. But we'll see what they end up actually drafting.
I'd say 5 important picks.
Yeah. Can they get 3 starters out of this draft? That's basically what Daniel Jeremiah is saying, that this draft should be able to produce starters for you. There's a lot of quality players, maybe not the stars. And at 31, and with the Chiefs having 3 picks, I think it is, right, in the top 100 because of the trade with the Titans. Well, you would like to think that they can be one of those teams that are able to do that.
I think if you look at it, and this is where, like, I guess at least things could be at least could be better for the Chiefs depending on the way that this works. But a starter draft, I view, is kind of like how the Nick Bolton one worked, right? Like, I know that now they've ended up aiming higher and getting higher out of Creed Humphrey in particular, right? Like, he very well might end up being one of the best players in that entire draft. He might end up, you know, like, centers are hard to get in the Hall of Fame, but if you played an All-Pro level for 15 years like Jason Kelce, you could do it. But in that year, they got a starter in Trey Smith. They got Nick Bolton as a starter and Creed Humphrey. They found 3 starters that they were willing to give second contracts to. Now, they haven't gotten the second contract with Trey Smith yet, but you and I think they're there. Then they found a really quality player in Noah Gray. Like, to me, that's what a starter draft looks like. Is Nick Bolton a star? No. Is Trey Smith a star? No, not in my opinion. Noah Gray's a really good player. Creed Humphrey might be for his position. He's a center, so people don't really
view it that way.
But that's the last, in my opinion, starter draft they went through. And in those cases, they're usually, in my opinion, better at those kinds of drafts than identifying the elite of the elite player. We've talked about this before with Brett Veach, and this is, it sounds like a knock. Maybe it is in some ways, but like his balance ends up working. He is not as good at finding the star players in unusual spots. That was John Dorsey's absolute piece de resistance. I mean, that was his single best quality. He found guys like Travis Kelce in the third round as a future Hall of Famer. He found guys like Justin Houston in the third round. He found some stars later in the draft. But Brett Veach, man, he finds starters anywhere. Maybe they're not the A++++ player, but they are A-level players, and they will, like Trey Smith, they will go out there, they will get second contracts, they will do a great job for you the entire time. And if it's a starter draft, I'll take it. I'll take it. But last year's draft, there's no way to spin it other than a B-, right? I mean,
at this point,
I mean, Kingsley's the swing player.
Xavier Worthy was awesome. One other guy played 2 games, and the rest really didn't play. So I think that's the highest you can put it at right now, but there is a chance for it to swing in a different direction if Kingsley, for example, ends up being the starting left guard this year and ends up actually being able to hold on to that job and play at a decent level throughout the season. As I said, we'll talk more draft with the quarterbacks here in about 12 minutes or so. We'll also have an Augusta leaderboard update coming your way in about 10 minutes as well. But we have an update. Thinking of updates, yesterday we talked a ton of golf because our producer, Drew Nixon, who's out, hopefully getting ready for the Corn Ferry Tour golfing today. He's out today. He'll be back tomorrow. We knew we were waiting on an update after the show to try to get Drew into a qualifier for the Corn Ferry Tour after he said he could break 100 at Augusta. And so a listener said, hey, I can help make this happen.
So we had a call, and it appears this is on the table. There's just a couple of little things we're still trying to figure out. So in the call yesterday, Drew can play. They will let Drew enter the tournament like any other member trying
to the qualifier.
To the qualifier. They will let Drew enter the qualifier like any other person who can enter the qualifier for a chance to be in the Corn Ferry Tournament the following week. So he has a chance, like any other person, to go out there and do it. He has to shoot one of the 4 lowest rounds that the course he's in. and then he'll qualify. No big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to have a gallery yet. We're working out the details on that. I wanted to warn people about that now because we didn't know. Here's the only real hangup. They don't really have a system in place in order to waive Drew's $500 fee for a non-member to try to get into this tournament. So I believe if we want him to play in this, what we need are sponsors. And what I mean is, like, I want him looking like Tin Cup with, like, a logo patch on a polo.
Yeah, a polo for an adult entertainment club.
It can, you also know,
it
be
can
on
have blue
a strip club.
Blue Chew. The polo can say chew it and do it. Whatever it needs. We need him to have a Twin Peaks hat that says fantastic on it. Something like that for anybody to get the entry fee covered.
So I think that that's really probably the biggest thing. The real question is, typically, in order to enter this tournament, they look for players who have a scored handicap of around 2. Drew, who says he's a very good golfer, which I don't deny. He definitely is a good golfer.
Absolutely.
Says he's about a 7 or 8 at the moment. Okay. I'm assuming he has a qualified handicap, as in, like, he keeps his...
Well, he's got a month to get ready.
Gin score or whatever. But
he honestly should take the next week off of work and just golf.
Probably. But, like, you know, it sounds like I'd be able to caddy. It sounds like we can be out on the course. It sounds like, Gold, you'd be able to follow and provide people the update. Simply put, there's no reason to think that Drew cannot be in this tournament as it sits right now. So, as far as I'm concerned, Drew is going to enter the Korn Ferry Tour qualifying event.
Yeah.
Just as long as we can get a logo patch sponsor on a polo,
I think we can make
it happen. His ass is in.
I think we can make it happen. Someone says he's a NASCAR guy. He should look like a NASCAR driver out there. He's got like 7 patches on the back of his polo as well. His hat can have 3 different sponsors on it. Just go all in. And he'll be qualifying. There'll be some of these guys that are actually really, really good golfers, like really good, that can qualify and make it into the Advent Health Championship, which is going to be later on that week of the after qualifying. And they're going to have like no sponsors. And then Drew's going to be covered in sponsors during this qualifying. It's going to be great.
Honestly, in a lot of ways, the less traditional business.
Someone offered to make him a whole better custom outfit. We'll save your information.
Including? Oh, okay, great. We like hearing that.
We'll give you an email address.
Can you make the caddy outfit too? Because we want the sponsors to get their full maximum value. So like a white jumpsuit or a blue jumpsuit, just whatever color coordinated with Drew. I'd like us to look like a team. We're out there being a team. I'd like us to look like a team, you know?
All right, I responded back.
Someone says they worked at Twin Peaks for years. They've got at least 20 polos he could wear, all different colors. He could say fantastic, right? Like whatever it needs, you know? That's the point is that we just need Drew to get a sponsorship. One sponsorship, cover a $500 entry fee, and we're golden.
Yeah.
He's in the tournament. We can enter him. We can follow him around, and then we can give you updates on May 12th when this tournament would take place. Really, what I'm here to tell you is that there's nothing stopping us from being able to do this. Maybe some of the business who've helped us before, like in the when we drank for our guy Jordan Lyles. Remember Pure?
Oh, that's right.
Had brought us a bottle of champagne.
Oh, I don't think any sponsor should be off limits.
No sponsors off limits.
Look, we don't have
no limitations.
We don't have a true sponsor exemption that you might hear about in some tournaments, but we can basically make the sponsors get the entry covered, so we can do our own sponsor exemption. Someone says Dusty's not happy that he didn't get asked to be Drew's caddy.
Hey,
I think there's other people in line. There's other people in line to be the caddy first.
So, I mean, it's perfect.
Oh, wow. We've got all kinds of connections
immediate
now.
Immediate offers.
Someone else says that they're going to have some of their golf carts at the tournament, that they'll make it happen. For some of
we
you
will
offering
save a lot
that,
of these numbers.
Yeah, I'm going to give you guys our email addresses, and we'll work on some stuff. We'll make some of this stuff happen. Hopefully.
We'll put so many logos on Drew's shirt. We'll put so many logos on Drew's shirt. Don't you worry. We'll make sure he's got, you know why? Because if we get $500, but we're at $600, we can get him a brand new box of Pro-Vs, right? We'll get him the golf ball of his choice. We'll get him the tees of his choice. We will make sure that Drew is at the maximum possible ability to go at the lowest conceivable score here at the Korn Ferry. Because really, the funniest result, can we admit that the funniest result for this for Drew really goes one of two ways. Either he is so bad, and I am told that this is a thing that has happened before in the tournament, in order to honor the level of competition and the work, how hard these guys are working to try to get the Korn Ferry tournament. They have, for people who are struggling, ask them to leave the course.
See, I don't think he's going to be that bad.
They've asked after nine holes to be like, listen, sir, we appreciate that you're making this effort, but it is time to exit the course and leave. We honor sportsmanship on this show. They tell Drew's ass to leave. He's got to leave.
I mean, look, that would be a hilarious moment in the show's history if he got kicked off the course because he was so bad during qualifying. But I actually think he's going to be good enough that he will be allowed to finish the full 18. And I think he'll be competitive. Like, I think he'll be respectable. I honestly believe he's going to work his ass off over the next month as well. Because in general, he's also just a good golfer. Just not good enough, in our opinion, to break 100 at Augusta. And that's how this whole thing started. But we we'll be in touch with some of you. Quite honestly,
somebody says my wife has a bakery, $50 for the hat.
Yeah. We'll work on this. Yeah, our sales staff is working on some stuff as well already. So we'll be in touch. I gave some of you our email addresses.
We will reach out to all of you.
No promises that we'll actually be able to make it firmly work with each one of you, but we appreciate the interest. And one way or the other, we're gonna be out at Falcon Lakes, I think, here on May 12th when Drew is trying to qualify.
Honestly, $8.50 logos is one of the $10.50 logos, one of the funniest possible ways to do it. Someone gets the hat, someone gets the sleeve, the chest, the back plate. Yeah. Whatever it takes, it takes to get Drew in the Korn Ferry tournament is really what's the most important for the qualifying event.
For sure.
That'll just, I did ask, like, does the Korn Ferry tournament have sponsors exemptions? They tend to save those for
real impressive.
I did think there would be some part of me that would be warm on the inside to force him to play four rounds
goodness.
Well, I don't think he'd play four. He'd get cut after two, but to make him go out there on a Thursday and Friday with a real gallery, but instead, he's got to do it. Yeah, somebody from the text line, we thought the qualifier was Monday. We got the dates mixed up. May 12th is the qualifying
event. It's the week of the actual tournament. That's how it works. You qualify on Monday if you're not already on the tour, and then the Korn Ferry Tour at Blue Hills Country Club starts on Thursday of that. So we'll work on this.
$501 logos? Any business? Put as many on there as possible.
Drew's not here today, so he has no clue what we're up to. I mean, he knows he's going to probably be qualifying, but he doesn't know the latest update or anything. So we'll check in with him tomorrow on this. More details over the next month to come on that. Up next, though, we will give you an update on the leaderboard down at Augusta. What's going on in round one action just underway there. But let's talk more about who could go number two overall now in the draft, and is there a quarterback sliding down the draft board next?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold. Just getting started. We appreciate those of you who have reached out. Give us some time. Give us a couple days. We're going to work on some details and figure out what we need to make the sponsorship happen.
We'd love to work with a bunch of small businesses, you know? Let's get you logoed out.
For Drew's qualifier. That's what we're hoping to do at the Corn Ferry Tour. We have a short show today because Royals wrap up their series during the day today out at Kauffman Stadium. Vern's On Deck show starts at noon as Michael Wacha takes the bump. If you check out our social media channels, put out a video today with one of my favorite bets for the Royals game today. That's on our Instagram, our Twitter, Facebook. I don't know if it's on Facebook. It's on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out today's baseball bet from me. Let's talk some draft at the quarterback spot before we have JT give us an Augusta leaderboard update. We'll check in, as I already know Scotty Scheffler's done something. I've saw people on Twitter. Scotty Scheffler's already done something. No, he did not get arrested this time. It's something different, something on the course that he has done. But Shador Sanders, fascinating football player, obviously fascinating personality, everything to go with his ties to Colorado and his father, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. He is such an intriguing prospect, and I guess somehow has become controversial at the same time. And at the same time, that's caused his draft stock reportedly to go down. The latest slot value for him is over under 8.5, meaning it is -225. It is more likely, at least in the odds makers' minds, that Shador Sanders will go 9th or later in the NFL draft two weeks from tonight. Number one pick, everybody pretty much agrees now. The Titans are drafting Cam Ward. Like that is going to happen.
That seems like a lock, yeah.
Number two now, it looks like there's more momentum that Travis Hunter will be the first Colorado player off the board. Travis Hunter would go to the Browns. That's -300 to happen now. But Shador Sanders, later than the 9th overall pick, he's going to be the quarterback that's going to slide, it looks like. And I know we've talked about the Steelers at 21. Can they be there? Is he sliding at 21? It's one thing to think he slides past the top eight, but can he go all the way down to 21?
I can't decide. I told you yesterday, I think everyone's wrong on, like, a lot of these mockers are wrong on Luther Burden, and there's just, like, no way logically he is going as low as people are. I am less sure, admittedly, on Shador, because what I can't understand about it is, in a year where it doesn't feel like there are any quarterback prospects that jump out or are better than the choice of Sanders, it does feel like teams have just talked themselves into, screw it, I'll take my chance on the kid from Louisville, or screw it, I'll take my chance on Jackson Dart, mm-hmm. and I'm not giving up a top 10 pick for Sanders. It's not worth the effort for me. Or maybe like the public perception, like we said, where I thought he would have been, I think if his name wasn't Sanders and he was Bill Smith from whatever random school, I don't know that this kind of thing would be happening with the draft. And yet, quarterbacks slide sometimes. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it with others. So at this point, I kind of assume that he is going to slide. And then what's going to happen is the rumors that are out there, either the Browns are going to jump back into the first round to try to get him after they take, reportedly, are in love with Travis Hunter now.
Yeah.
At the number two overall pick, and he's a heavy favorite, right? You said -300.
-300 for number two overall. Abdul Carter for the third overall pick is -250.
So, like, they're going to jump back in, or the Steelers are going to hope to get Sanders at pick 21. Now, four of their top 30 visits, they only get 30 of them, are at quarterback, so it's safe to assume the Steelers are definitely taking a quarterback. That's another reason why I don't think it goes to 21. If you're the Steelers, Gold, and you want Sanders, you decide he's good enough, you want to, whoever, what team in their right mind who wants a quarterback waits? I know it happens. Like, it happened with Lamar Jackson. Yep. I know that it occurs sometimes. It seems way, way too risky, especially when Mason Rudolph is your starter. I still think he's going top 10, maybe even top 5. Maybe it's just blind. If I was going to bet it, like just that, I'd still take under 10.
I also don't think he falls to 21. Maybe he does fall out of the top 10, but I don't believe he's going to fall all the way to 21. I do think there'll be a team. There's a lot of smokescreen stuff going out there that some team – will either trade back in a little bit higher, or just somebody's lying out of their, you know what, terms of like not actually being intrigued.
They want him to sink down.
I'm not saying he's not flawed. Of course he's flawed. There are question marks. Heck, there's question marks about Cam Ward, and he's going to go number one overall. I don't think it's a great quarterback draft class to begin with. It's certainly not.
It's not what
last year's was, where you had multiple options, and Jaden Daniels, of course, looks like a stud. I still think Drake May will be good in New England, and I'm not ready to write off Caleb Williams. I think that would be foolish in Chicago as well. So this is not the best crop of quarterbacks for first round talent, and there's a lot of people that don't believe Shedeur Sanders is a first round graded player. But remember, as we said last week,
it doesn't matter,
just because there's only, let's say there's 15 players that grade out as a first round talent, doesn't mean that there's only 15 players obviously that are going in the first round. And especially a quarterback, it's even if you view him as a second round talent, doesn't mean he's going in the second round or something like that. So Shedeur Sanders, I know that the personality thing rubs people the wrong way. I think what we talk about a lot of athletes wanting, like the killer instinct and wanting to be confident, all this kind of stuff. He just says it out loud, and that's what has got people rubbed the wrong way, I guess.
And if he had already proven it at the NFL level, nobody would think anything of it.
But I actually, in a weird way, I do still want that from my quarterback. Like, I want the arrogance. I want the confidence from my quarterback. Now, is he going to have to back it up? It will backfire if he doesn't perform well. Of course, that's the name of the game. We all know how this works. But I actually think if he's my quarterback, you know, the Giants, who now looks like they're not going to take him at number three overall. But if I'm the Giants, like I wouldn't shy away from that. And once they sign Russell Wilson and then Jameis Winston, I do think the Giants likelihood of taking him at three probably has gone out the window. But we have to remember, when we're sitting at the Landing in Liberty two Thursdays from tonight, we should not be stunned if all of a sudden he still goes. We're like, wow, all that for nothing. It happens every year.
He went fifth anyways.
Michael Penix Jr. last year, nobody thought was going, what was it, seventh or eighth overall to the Atlanta Falcons.
And they didn't even, they had a starting quarterback who they had just paid, and they still did it. I don't think there are quite as, it's not only not a good quarterback class, I actually think there are less teams looking for quarterback right now because there's some stuck in limbo. As in, they haven't given up on their quarterback yet. Like, Bryce Young is a perfect example of that. Bryce Young is now in the category gold of, they're going to play this out another year before they decide to wash their hands of it, or decide that the end of last year, Bryce Young is worthy of continuing this trend and not having to go back into the draft to get a quarterback. He could still lose his job this year, but not now.
Do you think, I mean, there's clearly some validity, though, to him falling in the draft. Like, but because go back, what was it? October during the Colorado football season, you know, Dion, you know, ruffled some feathers. That's what he's done. I understand that. But he said basically, like, I'm only going to let my son play at X. We didn't know the team names, but a select few of teams. Remember that whole thing? That was like the whole, he's going to force his son into a certain team. You notice how none of that conversation continued when the season ended. Yeah. And you're saying, well, why is that? Well, maybe they also recognized that the options weren't as plentiful as they believed they were. So that's why I do believe the somewhat of a slide is going to happen, because otherwise, why did that stop? Dion was talking all this in October and November. I'm basically, you know, there's only like three or four teams that my son's going to go play for. We haven't heard anything about that, which tells me they know that the interest was not as high.
Not trying to do it exactly the same way as before. I hope, by the way, we got all the emails in as we get ready to head out to Augusta for a leaderboard update. I hope we send you all emails back. If you haven't, we'll definitely respond to some of you. Like, even, you know, like I'd mentioned, we could get Drew a box of Pro V1s. Friend over at Brookside Wine and Spirits done some of the show before. He said he's got logoed Pro V1s. He'll just donate to Drew. So we're going to get Drew taken care of, but we should. Let's talk a little golf. Let's head out to Augusta for a leaderboard update. Drew, did he tell you?
JT.
I was going to say Drake. Did Drew tell you, JT, that you're in charge of this?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
I actually had the music already.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Sorry, I
apologize.
I know. You're good. You can keep it going. It made it easier for me. So if we want a leaderboard out in Augusta, I have got a pronunciation for the leader because I would have mispronounced it. I don't know if you heard, but Friday was a bad day for me on the drive.
Uh-oh.
I did
really?
The 0-3 batting lineup for a random lineup, and I was only two at the time, I messed up the rookie of the year for the Royals.
Probably.
pronouncedly.
You didn't have Barroa?
I said Barroa, and they went after me very bad.
Barroa.
Said I was two when Angel Barroa. Angel Barroa.
And they were like, that's the rookie of the year. You better get that right. I'm like, I'm sorry. I have no idea.
All right. We'll get the music fired back up here.
Yeah,
we'll
sorry.
Get,
you might need to play it on your end. We'll I apparently only had a bad short version.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Go to Augusta. There we go.
All right. So in first place right now through his first nine is Aaron Rye. He is under four.
That's pretty good. Four?
Steven Jaeger, I think, is his name.
Well, it could be Jaeger. I'm
going to guess Jaeger. I'm going to go with Jaeger.
Spelled like Jaeger Bomb.
He's under three.
Okay.
Three
going
under.
Through eight. Scotty Scheffler, for everyone who loves Scotty Scheffler, is...
He's great.
Negative two, so he's under two.
Two under through five, okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The nearest amateur has really dropped because when we were in the bullpen, there was one that was in the top 10. Well, he's dropped way down. I can't even find him on my screen anymore. He's all the way down. Noah Kent has dropped to number 48 with two over now. He was under at one point. My favorite one so far, I don't know. I was talking to Cody about this guy, man. Nikola Højgaard, I definitely mispronounced his name.
That's fine. Bro, no one's going to know you mispronounced that one.
Dude has only got four pars and shooting plus three. He's over three. And listen to his first nine. He had a bogey, a double bogey, birdie, 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 par, birdie, birdie, bogey. And then he went on to do a double bogey, par, double bogey again.
What kind of round is that?
He is just having a unconventional round, let me tell you.
He's from Denmark. He's got that slash through the middle of his O. I don't even know what that accent mark does.
I don't know. The one that is holding up the whole bottom right now is Patton Kearsey.
Okay.
Seven over.
Ooh, seven over. So this guy, a professional golfer, shot 700 through 16 holes, and Drew thinks he's breaking 100? Okay. Okay, sure.
I mean, good luck.
This guy's going to shoot an 80. But yeah, Drew's 20 shots within 20 shots of that.
Uh-huh.
His argument is like, well, that guy's having a bad day. Yeah, I mean, sure, but there's still a limit. Where are our guys? You and I both liked Colin Morikawa. Yeah, and a lot of people did. He's even through seven. I liked Minwoo Lee. He's even through seven.
I like Kenley. I don't believe he is teed off yet. I think he's about to tee off in the next 5 minutes or so. My guy, Russell.
Russell Henley tees off. God, where is he at? And your long shot bet was Lowry. He doesn't tee off till 12:23. So you're a little bit down on that list as well. Henley doesn't tee off till 11:50 Central Time.
Got some time.
So got an hour. Get some lunch. You know, do whatever he needs to do. That's your Augusta leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
We'll get JT trained up on these updates. We'll get him ready to go.
Is it not under three?
Three under.
Yeah.
I don't want to golf.
Someone was giving you a hard time because you said
three under.
You said negative two.
I don't know golf. It is bad. One of my good friends is trying to get me onto golf, and I'm like, I don't know much about this. So when I heard I had to do the update, I was like, this is going to go great.
This is how you get better, you know? Practice. Yeah.
Three under, two under, four over, bogey.
I know those terms.
We're going to get this
eagle,
figured out.
I know eagle in that.
There you go, JT.
Eagle, birdie, bogey, par, two under, three under. That's usually how it's discussed. And usually they say like through nine, like through 10.
All good, my man. All good.
Do they not say the back nine or front nine?
They do say that.
Okay.
They could say, but like, you know, after the front nine, if he had completed just nine holes, you know, or.
And that's what's going on at Augusta.
He's on the back nine. Yeah. I can't wait. Obviously, I still wish I could just put it on the TV while we're in the middle of the show, but, you know, they've...
Dusty brought in a putting green. We have a putting green. He left his clubs. I can go, in the middle breaks, play some golf.
You want to bet a dollar? $1 on whether or not I can make a putt?
I'm sure we can do
Let's
that.
See. One try?
You get one try. Yep, one try. Well, he's got his golf bag over there, if you want. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we can do this real quick. I can't see from where I'm sitting to actually see you do it. That's the only problem. But yes, if you would like to do that, maybe wait for the break. Just wait for the break. Let's just do it in the break. We'll just wait for you to do it in the break. It's not going to work out, I don't think, live on the radio. Nobody can see anything. The camera stream's not up either, so it's not the same.
I thought you could tell people, but I think
effect.
He took his putter.
Well, that's point. Why would you do that, Dusty? Yeah, you left. You said we could. Okay. All right.
The putter cover is there, but I do not see the actual stick. Okay. I don't have my clubs in the car, so I can't do anything.
Okay. Alrighty. All good.
I at least gave it a shot. Let's talk about the Royals last night. Somebody texted in earlier when we were talking about the pitching and the development change that's taken place with the team, and we're like, hey, I don't care about the pitching if they can't score a run. Fair complaint about the Royals right now. I'd be pretending like I wasn't a little concerned about the offense or the lack thereof. There's two things that really stand out to me right now about why I don't think they're getting runs. One is they are straight up not hitting home runs. They're quite bad at it. As you pointed out before the show, the current leader of home runs for the Royals right now, JT, you got a guess? I would guess not a normal name.
As Garcia?
In like, do not. Michael Garcia currently leads the Royals in home run. That is not a sustainable model to go out there. You need Bobby Witt Jr. or Salvador Perez or somebody else that isn't Michael Garcia to lead them. They are 21st in runs per game right now, 3.5 runs per game. And another part that I think is happening right now is Vinny is off to a slow start. And I was looking at some of the advanced numbers for him. His barrel percentage is about the same. His hard hit percentage is down. And I'm wondering if that is a result of a not fully healed hamstring. And he can't get quite the power behind the swing. And look, I'm sure he wouldn't make an excuse for himself. He'd just say he needs to play better or anything outside there. But his slow start could be slightly attributed to the fact that he is playing somewhat hurt right now. So like across the board, those are the three things that stand out. But I can't excuse it. They're a bad offensive team right now.
Yeah, they're not good. But I will say this. What's the record? How many games have they played? It is so hard for me to, you say you're a little concerned. And look, I'm not going to say it's been good. It hasn't. But am I really supposed to be worried yet? It's 12 games into the season. And we only have 12 games to talk about, so I understand. And I was texting with a buddy of mine last night, and he's like living and dying by every darn pitch, and it's April 10th. It's 12 games in. So to say, man, the offense, am I worried? I'm not worried. I obviously wish the offense was better. It has been an issue. That is all true. But 12-game stretch where the offense doesn't hit well, there's a chance that's going to happen again in July. There's a chance it's going to happen again in August. I just don't know how worried I'm supposed to be on April 10th.
12 games into the season. Yeah, like, they're off to a slow start.
With that said, they're not playing well. What do we say the exact numbers by? 21st in baseball, 3.5 runs per game. Like, that's true. That's not good. Duh.
At least it's not lining up with bad pitching, too.
But I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me. Like, am I worried? Oh, my gosh, 12 games in. They're 21st in baseball. We know the offense was going to be a question mark heading into the season. And it's been a question mark through 12 games.
I guess the real question you have to ask yourself is, do you think Vinny Pasquantino is going to hit 180 for the entire year? Do you think Garcia is going to lead them in home runs for the entire year? And my answer to those questions is emphatically no. I do not think any of those things are going to hold for the entire year.
If this team was 2-10 out of the gate and they were 21st in offense, we're having a different conversation. You know, we just said two nights ago, it doesn't matter how you score. They scored on two unearned runs and won three in a row. And last night, they had just as crappy of offense, and they didn't win. Like, right? I mean, they stole one the night before with two unearned, and last night, when you only have a handful of hits, it's gonna really be difficult for you to win.
And right now, they're playing playoff team after playoff team after playoff team from last year.
Let's just see where this offense is a couple weeks from now. Everything like that.
Also, so. Joe Ryan is an absolute Royals killer. Have you seen his? He has the lowest career ERA against the Royals of qualified starters ever, Gold. He is apparently the single greatest pitcher against the Royals of all time. Like, better than any of the guys you would have remembered kicking their ass every single time over the course of a decade. And instead, it just seems like this is the guy that nobody can get past, and he's just stuck over and over and over and over and over again. And so, yeah, I'm frustrated with, like, it's not fun to watch the offense play poorly, but am I here in some sort of, like, weird cold sweat over it? No. It fundamentally is, like, so early in the season, and I'd be more worried about if they were pitching poorly and they were, instead of 6-6, 3-9, we're having a very different conversation about the offense, right? 4-8, very different conversation about the offense. Right now, they have the number one ERA in all of the American League and the starter with the lowest ERA in all of baseball, thanks to a score correction last night, which puts Chris Bubich at 0.00.
Good news for today, I'll tell you. The pitching matchup, one walk is on the mound, but Ober's on the mound for the Twins. The Royals have some guys that have gotten some hits. Bobby Witt Jr., 20 at-bats. I think he has 19 hits. He has 20 at-bats. Yeah, he's hitting 475. In 19 plate appearances, against him. Salvador Perez has pretty good numbers as well. I'm just saying, like, do not be surprised today if all of a sudden the Royals are offense. I know the lineup is not sexy. It's a getaway day and everything like that.
Yeah, Drew Waters, Freddie Fermin, Mikel Garcia's hitting fifth, I think.
Yeah, it's not on paper, it's not the sexiest lineup, but as we know, sometimes you watch. Tonight will be their best offensive game in 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, probably. Somehow it will. And Drew Waters was hitting really well in AAA. Maybe he can continue his hot start in the bigs.
Yeah, I actually think they're going to win today. And the offensive struggles, you know, it's just when we fast forward at the end of the month, let's revisit and see where they're at. They're 21st right now. Are they still 21st on May 10th? Are they still 21st on May 30th? Like, these are different conversations then.
I do love an expectation change, though, I'll say. Because last year, our conversation in April was, can you please not end the season by April 31st? I would like to keep watching baseball after, or 30th. I'd like to keep watching baseball after the first month of the season. I think pretty clearly when you watch this team, they are competitive. They will be competitive the entire time. That is not a concern of mine. They're a good team. They can really pitch. And it feels like a win streak is more likely than a losing streak right now.
Oh, because the pitching.
With the pitching, it's like if the offense just catches a little heat here for a bit, that's going to go a long way. I told you last year, and I did this probably like 4 different times last year, when Bobby Wood Jr. goes like 10 games without hitting a home run, I end up doing over Bobby Wood Jr. home runs every day for 4 games in a row because I feel like at plus 425, this is, again, personal advice. I'm not guaranteeing you a win or anything. It worked for me last year. That if I bet him 4 times in a row, worst I break even, and I'm pretty sure he's getting a home run sometime before the 4th. Yeah. So, like, I feel like I'm getting profit by just betting Bobby Wood Jr. personally feel like I got a good shot. So, today, do I have something in for Bobby Wood Jr. to get a homer? Sure do.
Yeah, if you go to our social channels, there's a new video up there. I gave out a couple bets for the Royals game today. Anytime there's a day game during the week, try to do that. And Bobby Wood Jr. to get 2 hits. Ty France of the Twins to get a hit. He's got good numbers against Michael Wacha. So 2 hits for Bobby and a hit for Ty France parlayed together is plus 287 this afternoon against the Minnesota Twins. Ferns on Deck show about an hour from now right here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, though, something we just do not see a ton of sports in sports at all, and it was set up an unbelievable moment last week that really you just don't see, and I want to talk more about why that was the case, plus an interesting conversation around the Masters and how golfers handle their interactions with people. We'll explain that next. 11 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, JT Noah in for Drew today. Drew will be back tomorrow. He's out on the range getting set for Korn Ferry Tour qualifying.
I hope he's listening today to find out that he's going to be in this whether he likes it or not.
I hope so. We're also an hour away from handing things off to Vern for his On Deck show as he gets you set for Royals Twins series finale this afternoon out at Kauffman Stadium. Gorgeous day, though. If you happen to have the day off, you're fortunate enough on a Thursday, if you happen to have maybe the ability to have a long lunch break. Maybe you got a sales appointment in the afternoon. Gorgeous day, I think, to be out at the ballpark. But either way, you should be listening to 96.5 The Fan. Don't miss any of the games throughout the season, always on 96.5 The Fan. Tomorrow, Jake Eisenberg will join us for our Friday conversation. He joins us each and every Friday throughout the season. Before we talk some baseball and hand things off to Vern later on this hour, something happened last night you just don't see very often in sports, and it created just an unbelievable moment. I'm talking about what happened in the NBA, and I know we don't usually talk a ton of NBA on the show, but
it's a really interesting sports moment.
It's not often that a star player like Luka, of course, gets traded midseason, and everything that we discussed back when that happened, for those who haven't followed along, Luka was on the Mavs, was homegrown talent for the Mavs, got traded midseason to the Lakers. Just an unbelievable trade. We've never seen really anything like that. And Luka was back in Dallas last night. And they played this tribute video to him. It was extremely well done. And he got emotional, man. He was crying there on the bench before. J.J. Redick, after the game, said that even going back on the court after, like, warm-ups, Luka was still emotional. And then, oh, what does Luka do? He drops 45 points. Has his best game as a member of the Lakers. Like, you can't, I mean, of course he did. Like, of course he did. And it made, if you're a Mavs fan, it had to upset you even more. But that whole moment, the return trip in the same season, Luka is now the only player besides Wilt Chamberlain to score 45 points both for and against the same team in the same season.
Well, I mean, how often could that possibly have even been a choice? Yeah. How often is a guy who's capable of scoring 45 points end up on a team that he's not playing for actively in the same year, right?
True.
It doesn't make sense. This was, and I was trying to find, like, sometimes I try not to be like prisoner of the moment or be like hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. I genuinely could not think of a single sports memory that made that like happened like this. I've seen reunions. I've seen people go back to their old team, and you know, I've seen Moose come back to the K as a member.
Brady went back to New England when he was with the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I've seen moments that like in a way make sense, but not when you factor everything in. He didn't want to leave. He is one of the five best players in the league. He didn't want to leave. He was crying at the tribute they were offering him. And then LeBron James, an opposing player for the opposing team, was rallying up the Dallas crowd to cheer for Luka. I've never seen anything like it. It was so bizarre. It was like a truly unique sports moment. But in a way, it was like it was almost like I felt like I was watching a car crash. Like, I'm not supposed to, like, am I supposed to look away? Because the whole moment felt very awkward. They're chanting to fire the GM who traded him. They're cheering for the guy who's on the other team. In the meanwhile, he's putting a knife in your team's back the entire time you're watching him play that night. It felt like a bizarro world. It's like a sports moment like I couldn't put a finger on goal because I couldn't decide, like, is this a heartwarming moment for Luka? Is it like the worst moment in Dallas franchise Mavericks history at the same time? What the hell is this moment?
It was,
do you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense together.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. It just it felt awkward. But I'll say, like, it did feel like a movie, though. Like, you think about the script of everything that happened. You had the extreme emotions of the return, and then he goes and puts 45 on the board last night against his old team. And I was listening to some of the commentary after from some of the NBA analysts. Over on NBA TV after the game. The game was on ESPN, but still post game stuff. And they were like, that's that moment. That's when he officially became a Laker last night. Like, you got the return visit done. Now it's go time. It's the rest of your career. Yeah. Like, that sucks. And here, listen, I'll play some of what Luka said in post game. And he was still emotional then.
Thank you, Luka. Just, you said that you didn't know what your emotions were going to be like tonight. Just what were you feeling out there on the court?
I don't know, honestly. Everybody saw me the way I reacted to the video. You know, all these fans, I really appreciate it, man. All the teammates I had, you know, everybody had my back. I'm the happy, you know. This guy, I love these fans. I love the city. But it's time to move on.
What was it like for you sitting there watching all that love, watching that video pregame?
So many emotions. Can't even explain it, you know. Brought tears to my eyes. Like I said, I came as a young kid here with 18, and I know what to expect from NBA. And, you know, they made me feel like home, man. It's just a lot of great, great memories.
I saw Mahomes there. He was there for the game.
Mahomes is courtside. We know he's a huge Luka fan, huge Mavs fan. Luka fan, yeah. I think, is very important. And you could tell from the crowd that was there. We think about equivalence, you know, and imagine the star player. I mean, if you even want to localize it, like, imagine if Patrick Mahomes, one of the best players, in this case, Luka, one of the best players in the NBA, but Mahomes, one of the best players in the NFL, homegrown talent, and all of a sudden, overnight, he was traded. Think about how devastated,
I know,
and upset and pissed off you would be.
That's what just happened.
Yeah. That's what just happened for Mavs fans. And then now he's come back in your building, and you still love the guy, clearly.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong to you. He didn't request a trade or choose to sign as a free agent somewhere else.
I do think the emotions, the emotions were also like a chapter of his life is now officially closed. He's now a Laker. Like, you still, that's probably,
that did think put about it, but any, you needed that moment to put it to bed.
Think about anything in your life, right? When you see memories of good times, bad times, whatever, like, and you get emotional, right? You see photos of some great memory you had or whatever with your family or whatever, that, you know, that window, that chapter of your life is closed. Like, you get emotional, right? We've all been there before. And that's, we just saw it play out in real time, live in front of millions of people. That's why it was so unique. And honestly, pretty incredible to watch. And then he went and did his thing on the court, and he was so dominant. And, you know, the Lakers, his teammate, they made sure he had a huge night. There's no way Luka was going to play his old team and only going to drop 15 points, okay, or 20 points.
But he did like 40, you know, 10, and 10, essentially.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, right? Wasn't that like roughly it doesn't really matter. It was almost 50, probably 10 and 10. So, like, it's not just a game. I mean,
well, he came out of the gate just in the first half that was what was so impressive, too.
It's just like that trade still makes no sense. It's going to go down as the single worst NBA trade. I mean, it could end up going down as one of the single worst NBA trades of all time. And like, because the draft ones are different, right? You trade Kobe to the Lakers because you don't know, you know, like, it's an unknown player. You knew Luka was a superstar. Like, you were aware of that fact when you traded him.
Crazy.
It wasn't like a mystery or confusion. That was a straight up fact at that time. So it just doesn't make any sense.
Dusty just texted me. He said the comp he gave today was like, imagine if Bobby Wood Jr. got traded and the Royals got Mike Trout back, but, you know, different stages of their career. And then how would you feel? Like, that was the comp he gave today. Yeah. I mean, just it's hard to fathom. Those are the closest you could even try to even comp out.
Yeah. But like, have to be secretly, like, they didn't request there was no rumor that they wanted out. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they're just gone. And they're just gone. And like, Luka, I don't know. I still think he wishes he was a member of the Dallas Mavericks secretly, but like, now he's got to be a Laker, and he'll learn to love LA and all this stuff. And it won't be, you know, like,
especially if he wins a championship,
they got a pretty good chance.
They clinched
the
playoff spot last night officially, I think.
Between LeBron and Luka, you'd think together, were they third in the West right now, last I saw?
I don't know for sure.
I think it's right around there. That was, some of those games were before Luka Doncic showed up. So it's just a weird, it just felt like a really, truly unique sports moment, but not like all happy or all sad, just some weird, like, mixed pot of all of it. And it didn't, like, and usually they have like one emotion tied to them or one logical. It's both like a horrifying moment if you're a Mavs fan, but a cool moment if you're a Mavs fan, but like a weird moment if, like,
I don't know. No, I would have woke up today even angrier. I would have woke up, if I was a Mavs fan, I would have woke up today, like, all the emotions you had the day he got traded, and then, like, you're still upset, but, like, you distance yourself from it. Then his return brought back all those memories for you as a fan as well. Then you see him kick your team's ass, and you know where you're at as a franchise now. Now, I would wake up as a Dallas Mavs fan, and I didn't listen to any sports talk radio there today, but if I did, I would imagine they're all fired up and upset.
Yeah, I'd be mad.
And Harrison, Nico Harrison is the GM, right, down there in Dallas.
They were chanting to fire him.
Well, they should. They should. It's an inexcusable move.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I mean, still, it's just nuts. We got to get another Augusta leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Do you feel more prepared, JT? Do you feel more confident about your ability to give this?
He just gave us the look like, me? Now?
Right now? I can give the update.
I can do it. I can do it.
I did the sponsor read part of it.
I knew you. I did let you do that because I didn't know there was a sponsor, so we're good there.
We're good. Twin Peaks, man. I'm a big fan of this show. They're fantastic, according to Drew.
That's great to hear. Listen, so we have a new leader.
Okay.
All right.
Steven Yeager has taken the lead.
Okay.
He is 4 under.
Nice!
Yay!
There you go. Aaron Rye has moved to 3 under.
Okay.
Moved to 3. That's correct phrasing. Very good.
Here we go.
Through 11 holes, it appears?
He is through 11, and Yeager's only through 10. So.
Okay.
All right.
Scheffler is still at 2 under, so no movement from him with through 7. Also, I want to give an update because I know Angel Cabrera was a top.
Angel, that's Drew's guy.
He's Angel. Here we go, okay. Angel. Okay.
Angel.
That's Drew's Where's guy, fresh out of prison.
He's actually 1 under.
So is Fred Couples.
Well, not fresh out of prison.
No. He's at 1 under.
Cabrera's 1 under part. Through 4. Through
Relax.
4. Wow, through 4. So
Freddie
that's
Couples
good.
1 under through 10.
Yeah. I saw he's old. I saw Twitter.
He's like 65.
Saw Twitter. He was like with the fans high fiving. So I did see that guy. Update on my guy that I've been keeping an eye on because he did something again. He hit an eagle this time. Haygard is now one up. Well, God, one up. I said one up.
No. You're good. You're good.
One
by
over.
The way,
one
by
over.
The way, Cody, you and I are outright winner.
Yeah.
Morikawa. Tied for 7th, 1 under through 8.
Okay, I like that. I also have Minwoo Lee to win. So
it's early. The 89th tournament that we can't name.
You're trying to tell me that this Hogard guy, this is his scorecard.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a wild scorecard.
Not kidding. This is one of the most wild scorecards I've ever seen.
Oh, now he's +2. He just bogeyed another.
Bogey, double, birdie, 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 par, birdie, birdie, bogey, double, par, eagle.
And now bogey.
Huh. What are you doing out there? Like, are you just like...
What are you doing
out
there?
Swinging the stick and hoping to just like praying wherever the ball goes?
It turns out the course is difficult, which is why you wouldn't break 100 at Augusta.
Yeah.
If you were a normal person.
If you're looking for an update, I encourage you to go to the early part of the show.
Amateur to the top is Noah Kent. He's tied for 58 with being over by three. Three over.
Okay. Over.
There you go. JT. We've learned JT is coachable on the fly. Love it.
That was a better one. That was a much better one. He only really has to give one more of it today. So.
That's right.
I know. Should be in good shape. Short 2 hour show. He was so funny. Drew talks to me. He goes, I messed up. You only have a 2 hour show. I gave you the 2 hour show. I said, it's okay.
That's right. We got Royals baseball on the air a little bit later on this afternoon. Right here on 96.5 The Fan. I think I've decided, I was texting with a friend, I think I'm going to try to go out to the K this afternoon.
You're going to go out watching baseball?
Yeah, the weather's great. I think I'm going to go out there a little bit
later. It's gorgeous. I bet you can get in cheap.
Tickets are also not very expensive. That is, I was looking as well. So I think I'll make my way out there after the show. Why not? Beautiful day. I love day games. Love day games. Head out to the K.
Is it cheap enough where you're going to be paying for more for parking at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I've heard parking's actually gone up this year, so.
Oh, has it? I don't know about that. Has it?
I have no idea. I've been out once, and it was with my girlfriend's dad, who has season tickets. So
all I know is I can sit downstairs right now for $7. So,
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely cheaper than parking. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, well then, yeah, go to the K. Take JT with you. $14. You guys can sit together.
I mean, you're welcome to join. I'm going with somebody else as well. I mean, you are more than welcome to join if you want. All right, let's talk about something else around Augusta that came up from Rory McIlroy earlier in the week, and. I was trying to do you guys care about this or is this more of a media thing? And what I'm alluding to is there's been some controversy around golf in general, like how many players are willing to actually speak to the media after their rounds. And right now there's not a stipulation that requires any of these golfers to talk to the media after the
round
is over.
Because we think about sports as like being
in the NFL, there's certain locker room requirements. MLB clubhouse, doesn't mean every player is available after every game, but there's some rules that are involved with media availability. Listen to Rory talk about golfers not being obligated to talk.
Rory, Colin Morikawa caught some criticism at the players for saying he owes the media nothing after he left Bay Hill early. You obviously caught some heat too after doing that at Pinehurst. The conversation after situations like that sometimes is in comparison to other professional athletes. Golfers can be a little more sensitive. I'm wondering if you think that's a fair or unfair assessment.
Well, he's right. Not that I think he could have worded it a little bit better, but look, every other athlete, whether it be in the NBA, NFL, they're obligated to speak to you guys after a game. We're not. So, you know, whether that's something that the PGA Tour looks to in terms of putting that into their rules and regulations. But as long as that's not the case and we have that option to opt out whenever we want, expect guys to do that.
So I think it's interesting because if you're listening and you guys can text in because I'm curious to get your guys' perspective because 913-586-7965 because in general you might say like they don't need to talk to you, why does it matter? Just remember some of the stories and the inside everything you get is because players are willing to talk after their sporting event. Like typically you're like, well, why does it matter if that athlete or coach speaks to the media? They shouldn't have to do it.
I guess it's just part of like the being paid millions and it's feeling responsibility.
It's part of that, but also as a fan, as a sports fan, I actually think you benefit from it as well, right? Like if the information is not out there and you don't hear from your favorite player on your team, let's just use the baseball or football example here locally. If you never hear from Vinny after a game, or if you never heard from Patrick Mahomes after a game, you are also not benefit. You're also at a disadvantage, right? It's not so much, it's not an ego thing like, oh my gosh, how dare this player not talk to X reporter? It's that you, the public, will not have any of the same information or any of the same insight or hear from your play. You know, you lose out as well. That's how I always have viewed it. It's not so much of a, oh, this reporter doesn't need to make it about himself. That's not what I'm saying.
I guess in a lot of ways, yeah, it's not about that. It's about like, this is what encompasses being a professional athlete is that unlike a lot of other jobs, you publicly have to answer for your performance. And that's part of what goes into being paid tens of millions of dollars a lot of times. And like, that's like one of the things that are part of the job. And this is why, like, we cover sports less if we have less access, if we can't, like, you're hurting yourselves in a lot of ways. Like, if I can't hear Rory talk about a thing, well, then I'm not going to play that thing. We're not going to talk about it. There might be less ad dollars or so, maybe less people watch or are familiar with the sport. I think they all kind of go hand in hand, but it might be that the regular fan doesn't care. They don't care to hear from Rory after this round. You know, I don't know.
I do. I do understand why I believe in like the whole idea of a cool down period, though, right? Like you just shot the worst round of your life. You don't want to have a camera stuck in your face 5 seconds after.
Yes.
Totally understand that. That's why there's a cool down period, things like that. I understand that for sure. But the topic of it, I think it depends on the sport. Like if you're not a huge golf fan, you probably really don't care. If you're a diehard golf fan, if we're talking about the PGA Tour and the way Rory talked about it there, it tells me the fact that he put the pressure on the commissioner of PGA, that tells me that I actually think Rory believes eventually it will become a requirement.
So he might as well just be on the look. Some guys talk more than others. And it's like someone's pointing out, it's like, well, like when Rory took that guy's phone, it's tough. If you don't think other athletes do stuff like that, I watched Marcus Peters yell at fans in the stands. Dan Hurley does it weekly for UConn. It happens across sports. The interaction with fan golf is tough because they are on your back. It's like the NBA. It always feels way more personal because they are in your kitchen. They get close to you sometimes. And as a result of that, I think it changes. But I do think it's an important aspect of the sport. And it might be because I'm a media member. I can't admit, but like, I think having to sit up there and explain part of it, and look, it opens yourself up. I don't think you have to just answer whatever call a bad question a bad question, or you have to sit up there. Like, you can be honest and you can be critical, or you can be careful or cautious. You can choose the way you do it, but I don't think it's that big of a deal to have you sit up there and do some media availability, because you're more than happy to do it when you win, but don't want to do it when you lose. Feels cowardly in a lot of ways, Gold. Rory wouldn't have any problem. Any of these golfers wouldn't have any problem doing it if they had just taken down the trophy, but now you don't want to do it because you played poor. Well, that seems like you're being kind of a coward about it. Like, you know, you're hiding from your performance, which seems unnecessary.
All right, JT, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
This one goes to Wichita, Kansas. Well, just outside Mays, Kansas. It's basically Wichita, Kansas. Mays, where fourth grader's in a little bit of hot water, at least with his parents, not with law enforcement. So a concerned citizen called Mays police around 8:10 in the morning to report a white pickup going down the road with a driver who appeared to be a 10 or 11 year old. Officers went to the area. The report did not find anything. Someone flagged down police and directed them to Prey Woodman Elementary. The boy had driven his parents' Chevy pickup from his home
to
the school, 3-mile trip. Officers went to the school, made contact with the boy in the pickup in a parking stall. Blackburn, which was one of the officers, said the child parked better than most people park.
Not bad.
The boy's short excursion did not lead to any collisions or traffic issues. Police did not write any tickets, adding that he's, quote, in tons of trouble, we're sure, with his parents. They will let the parents handle it. So here's what happened. The kid, he missed the school bus and wanted to go to school. He missed the bus. He said, well, I'll just drive my parents' Chevy.
Okay.
And he drove it down 3 miles and parked perfectly in a stall at the school.
I will say, I don't know where Mays, Kansas
it's
is,
just
but
outside,
I guess it's somewhat, okay, so a little bit rural.
Kind of. I wouldn't even say that. It's not
suburb
a small town.
Suburb of Wichita?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are some kids just built different? Because I'm just telling you right now, my daughter is 8, almost to be 9. And if you made her drive a car to her school, she'd crash so many times on the way there. How are these kids? And like, I've been behind the wheel of a car, like steered or whatever, or driven it down a hill by like 9 or 10.
How
but
big
this
is
kid's the driving all the way to school on his own? He got himself there too?
Well,
damn.
I mean, he missed.
Honestly, you should be impressed with this kid. This kid shouldn't even be in trouble, in my opinion, from his parents.
I'm
impressed.
I mean, he wanted to make it to school. He missed the bus. He said, I'm finding a way to get to school. He took the parents' car. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how tall this kid is. Fourth grader, you're like totally
you be
good.
Kind of tall
can see over, can reach the pedals, all that.
Unless it's like a column shift.
In a Chevy truck, it might have been.
If it's a column shift, he could handle it a little bit
How's
easier.
He touching the pedals and still seeing, though?
Well, he might be able to brake and gas and then pop himself back up as he's coasting.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying that's a little bit easier.
He parked perfectly. There's some bad parking jobs we've talked about in our parking lot here.
Tons.
The police officers said, yeah, he actually parked better than most adults.
I mean, there's just no way my kids could drive a car. Like, not even a chance. One, the seeing is a huge problem. Both my kids are kind of short for their age, so there's just almost no way it could occur.
Normally we don't take trash of the day suggestions in the middle of trash of the day, but this one is unique. From the 816, I have a trash of the day. I work for a local police department. Yesterday, a parked car on the road was loaded with flies. We found a dead dog inside.
What?
Went to the owner's front door of his apartment. It smelled awful up there. He said he kept his dead dog in the apartment for 2 weeks. The smell got too bad. He took it to his car. What is wrong with people?
don't take it to the vet and go through the normal process
or bury it
or go through the normal process. You know, eventually they'll cremate the dog or whatever. Your dog was dead in your house for a week or so,
and you thought this stinks. I'll just move to my car,
and you just abandoned the car. That's messed up.
That's horrible. That is so bad. And I just went through a tragic passing of my puppy, so like I couldn't even.
You're like, could you imagine doing that to your dog?
Oh no. God, I was already crying when I was at the ER.
Yeah, people pointing out that maybe it's a farm kid. Someone said 913. My 9-year-old can drive. She's a farm kid. 785. Farm and ranch country kid driving trucks through pastures.
No,
age or younger.
I hear you, but like Mays is not. Trust me, I lived in Wichita for a little. Mays is not like some small town. It's a suburb of Wichita, but it's not just a bunch of farmland. There is farmland.
Maybe
it
works the farm just outside.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe just kind of grew up in that. Maybe the look, my parents let me get behind the wheel of a car earlier than I probably should have been, especially depending on the setting. But like, I don't know, man. The kid went to school. What do you want from him? Yeah. He didn't skip school.
He didn't.
You and I had to skip school. Missed the bus. Oopsie.
Yeah.
Guess I'm not. I wouldn't have thought to drive or I'd have walked, I guess.
So my question with this is, he misses the bus. He goes home, grabs the car keys for his parents' truck, drives. The parents were at work, but they left the car. Where were the parents?
Maybe they just didn't notice. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
What happened there?
You're right with the keys. I'm not even sure. Like, my kids know how to start. Now it's push button, right? They probably have no trouble.
Do they know to put the foot on the brake to get the push start to work?
Probably not.
Yeah, so that's the only thing.
And I'm not going to show them because they don't need to know that. They don't need to know how to start or run the car.
Yeah, I'm just confused where the parents were, I guess.
Have you ever even thought about, like, when you were a young kid like that, do you even think about, like, joyriding in a parent's car?
Oh, I'm sure I thought about it. And I never did, but I'm sure I thought about it.
My sister got busted joyriding a car and, like, drove through a neighbor's yard and all this stuff. And then the cops went to the door because, like, I think she got spotted in some way or they got the plate or whatever. And she answered the door for the cops. You're like, well, that's foolish. Trying to pretend that she was in the shower, whole thing. You're like, they're not buying any of this. They know you took, and it was one of my, it was like a parent's car. One, like, she didn't steal a stranger's car, I guess. So you're in slightly better shape than had you taken somebody else's.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But because we have a shortened show and we've got baseball coming up, it'll be a mix. I'll be honest. It'll be a mix of Royals and Chiefs, including an unbelievable stat that tells you about the development of Royals pitching. Coming up next.
Come in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but we're going to mix in some Royals. We're 25 minutes away from handing things off to Vern for his on-deck show as the Royals wrap up their series this afternoon, a little after 1 o'clock against the Twins right here on 96.5, The Fan. So we'll get to a little draft discussion, maybe another mock draft sounder as well. I don't know if JT remembers where the Tornado Siren mock draft sounder is, but...
Might not have time. He's got to do another Masters update. He's a busy man.
We got a lot going on today. JT filling in for Drew, producing. Drew will be back tomorrow. But I actually do want to start with the Royals, though, since we are going to hand things off to Vern here in a little bit. And the stat that we discussed from Nick Capel over at the Royals, which tells you in one different way. I mean, there's a bunch of different signs of this, but it's a different way of looking at why this regime has succeeded and what they're doing at the pitching level. In 57 Royal seasons, there were 10 games in which pitchers recorded at least 12 strikeouts and no walks. And that was two nights ago when Cole Reagans did it. Five of the 10 have come since 2023, since Brian Sweeney was the pitching coach, since J.J. Piccolo was the general manager.
Lugo and Reagans and
whoever. Some of it is just talent, no doubt.
They've had good pitchers before. This is not like the first time in their history.
Now, Cole Reagans is awfully special. I think it's very clear. We mentioned he's a Cy Young candidate. He's got the fourth best odds already to win Cy Young. Last year, he was top five in strikeouts. He came off an 11 strikeout performance the other night. What that stat tells us, other than just using your eyes and watching what we've seen, it's another belief that this group right now, and whether it's bringing in major league talent, hopefully eventually we're going to find out minor league development and prospects that come up to the big league level. They've got the right people in charge to teach, right? To develop pitching. It sure looks like that. That's not something we've been able to say very often in the past.
No, I can go through a very long history of excellent pitchers that the Royals have had in their history, including Cy Young winners, Brett Saberhagen and Cone and Greinke and a bunch of others. Great pitchers. The fact that this is just happening now, previously, that means in their history, it's happened zero, and I did the math, 0.0001% of the time, and now it's happening at like 2% of the time, which I mean, that is a massive difference in frequency, is because they finally understand pitching. This is why they were a laughingstock of a franchise for so long, honestly. They never understood pitching. They either didn't know how to develop it, didn't know how to use it in the major league level, didn't know how to recognize talent of pitchers on the other level, had bad pitching coaches, I think, for huge chunks of that time, including an awful one before they made the switch to Brian Sweeney, one of the worst in baseball, genuinely. Their ability as a franchise to understand and learn pitching is the single most confidence-building thing I have in this franchise's future out of any of that. That stat points to it. They're finding talent. Reagans and Lugo and so many others. And they got guys pitching in the minor leagues who look like legitimately could be good. They're finding talent in Bubich and Lynch and making those guys work, even if they weren't maybe the right picks at the time. Sweeney is getting the most out of the pitching staff. They have the number one ERA in the entire American League. They have the starting pitcher, Chris Bubich, has the lowest ERA out of any qualified starter in baseball. It wouldn't matter if they were qualified or not. It's 0.00 after they took an earned run off the board for him. They are making some of the same pitchers work to a high level and then identifying the guys they need in order to make it work even better. This is the best thing they're doing as a franchise. Even better than finding some of the other talent or some of the other players who fit in. Pitching will keep you relevant forever.
Yeah, it's why forever. It's why they're Rays 6-6
model.
But
worked.
It's why they're 6-6 even right now, with as bad as the offense has been, 12 games in. Without pitching, obviously, they would not be sitting at 500 and in second place in the division. And if you're looking at what you want to count on, for those that are skeptical, the pitching could fall off. That this is another reason why that will be there. Now, is Chris Bubich going to have a zero ERA? Of course not, right? Is Cole Reagans going to have 11 strikeouts, no walks every time out? Of course not. But in terms of what you're going to get out of the pitching staff, and now I'll include the bullpen for what we've seen too. Those things I'm not worried about. It is, can the offense get going at all this season? One, it'll be better than what it is right in the second, but to what extent? They're 21st right now. Is it better as in they only become the 16th best offense, or is it better that they can get towards the 12th best offense? That's really, there's a big difference between 12th and 21st.
Yeah. But being 16th, if your pitching staff's going to look like this, earlier someone said, well, what if the pitching staff has a bad week? I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm just saying that is statistically far less likely to occur than the offense not coming back up to its normal levels. Mikel Garcia is not going to lead the team in home runs. Vinny's not going to hit 170 on the year. Some of the things that are happening right now offensively will not hold. They will eventually find some other levels.
All right, JT, he has found...
He found a mock draft?
A mock draft. You got one or I got one? You tell me. You have one ready to roll? Okay, I've got it. It's the mock draft.
Who's yours from?
This is from Sports Illustrated. I brought this one up because you know I can't stand the mock drafts that have trades.
So this one has a trade?
This one is an old trade mock draft, Cody.
Oh, God.
It's not
even the number one overall pick?
It's nothing but trades.
Oh, I hate it.
Nothing but trades. So do I. But I'm bringing it up today because it's something different.
And I don't even mind a traded mock draft sometimes.
It's something different today. How about this one involving the Chiefs? So we know they're picking 31. And yeah, I don't like the trade mock drafts typically, but we're going to have some fun with this one. So it has the Chiefs trading all the way up to 21. From 31 with the Steelers. The Steelers trade pick 21.
Okay, can I guess before you show me?
Let me just tell you the trade and then.
Sure.
The Steelers trade number 21 and number 185 to the Chiefs for pick 31 and 66. I don't like the trade to begin with. Let me be clear. I don't want the Chiefs trading up to 21.
Agreed.
Now, who do you guess that they traded up for?
Joshua Simmons.
No.
Loveland.
No.
Damn.
You want one more guess?
Wait, Walter Nolan.
There you go. Third time's a charm. Yeah. Walter Nolan.
Come on, three guesses, not bad. It could be any player.
It could. There's a lot of players.
They have the Chiefs trading up
10 spots to get Walter Nolan.
In the deepest defensive line draft of a generation? What sense does that make?
I don't like it, but that's why
I wanted
to bring this one up. Some of the other trades... It's just a first-round mock draft, by the way. Thank goodness. It's a trades mock draft.
That'd be exhausting.
You were wondering some of the other big trades that would happen. And this one, let me go into the top 10. See what happened here in the top 10. It's from Sports Illustrated. At pick number one, they have Cleveland in this hypothetical trading with the Titans. So the Titans trade number one overall to the Browns for number two, for number 33, for number 67, for number 104, and number 200. It's in the first overall pick. And the Browns trade up and get Cam Ward.
This is like crunch berries, all berries. Too many trades. I don't want it.
In this one, then pick number two would be, of course, now the Titans. They take Travis Hunter at two. The Raiders trade all the way up to number three in this mock draft and get Shedeur Sanders. The Giants trade back. So Raiders in this hypothetical mock draft would trade up to get Shedeur Sanders. The fourth overall pick would be Abdul Carter going to the Carolina Panthers, who trade with the Patriots.
I mean, like
the whole thing is a mess. The whole thing's a mess.
I like the idea that they're just going with the complete gimmick of it.
The Jets would trade up and get the tackle out of Missouri, Mimbu.
Oh, okay. He's a very hot prospect name, and he's going to go in the top 10, it seems like, almost assuredly now. He was a good player
this
anyway.
This one's crazy. Has the Patriots, who traded with the Panthers earlier, at number 8 overall, taking McMillan, the wide receiver. Seems very high to take McMillan. A lot of people think he's fallen.
I thought most people said he was falling.
Ashton Jeanty to the Broncos in this hypothetical mock draft with a trade.
You know what? If he's going to be in the division, I actually prefer he be with the Raiders.
Just because you don't take him seriously.
They're just a bigger joke of a franchise. Yeah, that's it. I think he's going to end up in the division. I told you. He's going to be a Las Vegas Raider. Get used to watching Ashton Jeanty run against the Chiefs defense because I am 100% convinced that that's the team he's eventually landing with. So they'll probably take like a tackle or something. They won't take a skill position player. My whole thing is based on the idea that Pete Carroll is old and they brought in Geno Smith to win immediately.
Your guy Derek Harmon goes to the Eagles, but they trade up to 28 to get him.
Ah, gross. See, he's going to be so good. He's going to be with the... Anytime the Eagles choose a player, assume they're great.
I didn't notice this. This is from SI, but it's actually from our friend of the show.
Wait, who?
It's from Matt Verderam.
Oh!
It's from Verderam.
He did an all-trade draft.
Yeah, or mock draft, yeah.
Ugh, I hope they don't trade up 21.
They don't need to trade up 10 spots.
In this case, everyone's trading, so like it's way less realistic.
Colston Loveland ends up going to the Colts in this hypothetical.
We can talk more Chiefs here in just a minute, but we do need to get you a Masters leaderboard update brought to you by, that would be crazy. We wouldn't do that at all. An Augusta leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Almost blew that, you know? Good cover. Saved it!
What's going on at Augusta?
Brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Hello, friends.
Oh.
Hey! Oh.
And welcome to Augusta, Georgia, where right now, Stephen Yeager...
Still the lead?
...is 4-under still.
Okay.
Through 12. Scotty Scheffler is in second with 3-under now.
Oh, he's only one shot off now.
Scotty.
With through 8.
It's the only major he's won.
Scotty. Two of them.
I don't know what has happened to Aaron Rye, but he has fallen very fast. He is now 1-under.
Golf happened.
Amen Corner got the better of him.
Apparently hitting a little white ball into a hole is harder than you think. We are still having a big tie right now with 2-under between 4 players all tied at 2-under.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask where Drew's guy, Angel Cabrera, is.
I believe he is now par through.
Okay.
He's even. Okay.
He is even through 6.
All right. Fresh out of prison.
He is fresh out of prison. Evan Beck, an amateur, is tied with Cabrera, even through 4. And our favorite, my favorite contestant, keeps doing wild things after his eagle.
We're only going to pay attention to him because he's just an insane person.
After his eagle, he decided, you know what? I don't want the eagle, and goes bogey, bogey, back-to-back holes. So
he's only got one hole left on the course. I hope he birdies it.
I hope he birdies. He'll eagle that one, you know. But he right now still only has 4 pars throughout the whole day. What a wild time for that man.
Where's Brooks Koepka? Someone wanted to know. Has he teed off yet?
Brooks
Koepka. Let me see.
It says he has not teed off.
Okay.
11:50 is his tee time.
All right, 4 minutes away.
Yep.
Getting ready to get a big group off here at 11:50. Henley and Koepka, Matt Fitzpatrick are getting ready to go. Schauffele, Hovland, and McIlroy about 20 minutes after this. Aberg, Thigala, and a couple of others going a little bit later as well. And your long shot guy, Shane Lowry, goes at 12:23.
Beautiful. I can't wait for this afternoon. Sit at Kauffman Stadium, watch the Royals score some runs today, keep an eye on the Masters leaderboard. Beautiful weather, be like 70 degrees out there. I can't wait. Can't wait for this afternoon.
From the 816, Cody, just FYI, Bob was talking smack about your putting game.
Uh-oh.
One, wow. I'm not sure if that is true. Second,
Has
Bob ever seen me putt?
I don't know, man.
Also, have I bragged enough about my putting for someone to be critiquing of? I've been very open on this show as being a not good golfer. I've never tried to lie about my golfing prowess or pretend to be a good golfer.
I heard that you said you could break 100 at Augusta, though.
I couldn't break. Honest to God, I am not confident that if you put me in master conditions from the... And we got to like... No, I don't think I'd break 200. I do not think I would break 200 at Augusta. I think I'd have to quit. I think they'd have to drag me off. They'd have to clear the course for the whole day. Mm. Do you know what? Like, no one else could even play that day. I'd hold up the entire thing. I couldn't let enough people play through.
I'll go golfing with you guys. I just, let me drive the golf cart and let me just enjoy myself. Have a couple brews and that's it. That's all. Just let me, you know, and maybe on one hole I'll decide to hit it off the tee. But just let me drive the golf cart and enjoy the afternoon. That's all I need. That's all I want.
We did, for those who missed it, yesterday on the show, Drew said he could break 100. As a result of that, we joked that maybe we could get him in a Korn Ferry tournament. Qualifier. The person who runs the qualifier said they could get him in a qualifier, to which we believe we are going to put Drew in the Korn Ferry qualifying event at Falcon Lakes. We would like to get him in, give him a chance to do it, and find out, put his game against some of Kansas City's best and a chance to qualify the Korn Ferry. We believe the way we're going to end up doing this is making him like 10 cup style.
Sponsors all over.
Sponsors on a gentleman has kindly offered to print up the shirt with potential sponsors. If you have interest in doing that, shooting a text, Alex and I will respond. We'll give you some emails. We're going to reach out to people as we can. We don't know exactly what's going to work out yet, but we believe it'll just be like NASCAR style. Drew
logo,
bunch of logos and logos all over me as the caddy. And we will just be logoed up on the course. And eventually we can sell those things.
That'll
as
be
Cody
the garage,
garage sale items.
Yeah. Yep.
So it'll do double good. You will, you know, in a way you'll be donating to charity.
That's right.
By doing this. And we'll just get Drew logoed up because in order to get him in the tournament, it's a $500 entry fee.
Hey.
And we want to pay it because why not?
There's some people who are going to be at that qualifier. Their whole livelihood is on the line. Their whole livelihood's on the line and Drew's going to be sponsored up. There's going to be some 22-year-old that's trying, some young kid out of college.
Someone's going to think he's legit walking in there with a caddy sponsored up. Dude, they're going to think he's good.
I'm like, no, they're going to say, who the hell is this guy?
Who is this guy?
That's what's going to be happening.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Someone says, I also need a caddy gold. I always need a caddy gold. Are you in this thing as well? Are you in this thing?
Oh, you could caddy for someone else.
It'd be funny if another listener of ours was in this qualifier. Let us know. Let us know. Tomorrow, full show. Drew will also be back, so we'll talk more about this. We'll also get into what the rest of the weekend could be for the Royals as they begin a road trip after their game this afternoon. But for now, we're going to hand things off to Vern. His On Deck show starts in a couple minutes. He gets you set for the series finale against the Twins right here on 96.5 The Fan.